All right, Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Hey, earlier today I had a conversation with teenagers while they were in the car with their parents and just talking about being respectful. Twitter blew up, Facebook, Morning Show website. Everybody wanted me to replay the conversation that I had earlier. Here it is. Hope y'all enjoy it. Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Hey, man, I just want to have a word with the kids. All you wonderful teenagers that's probably on the way to school or in the cars with your parents right now, especially if you got a single parent. And I talk about this because I'm going through it. Don't think for a minute just because I'm on the radio and, you know, we got a little hot TV reality show that we don't go through stuff. There's some stuff that go down when the cameras ain't around. And I just want to tell y'all kids out here, man, that have a single parent, man, your mama's sitting up here going to work every day, doing her thing, putting up with people crap, dealing with customer service, dealing with patients and lifting and all this kind of stuff, man. Some of y'all out here don't even know how good y'all got it. And y'all don't even understand what most of y'all parents went through just where you can have what you have. Everybody that's in the car with your mama right now, look down at your feet and look at your, and pull your pants leg up and look at your shoes and your socks. Your parents done went and spent a couple hundred dollars on shoes. You got nice jeans and you got nice clothes. And half of y'all ain't even riding the bus getting dropped off at school today. You are so blessed. You have way more than we ever had. And I can say all this stuff, man, because I'm from the projects. I'm from Kingston Project. We grew up on Section A. And then to have kids to say something back. If your parents say something to you, man, only thing you need to do is say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. We didn't ask you who put the shoes in the floor. We said get the shoes out the floor. Even when you explain something is a slight way of being disrespectful and talking back. And I want y'all to understand something. Every time you talk back to your parents, man, you're cutting your days short. The Bible said, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's in the Bible. And I'm telling you, man, you around here become a teenager, you ain't bought nothing. You don't pay no bills. You don't pay no rent. We have to make you clean up. We have to make you take a bath. We have to make you take the garbage out on Mondays and Fridays or Tuesdays and Thursdays, whatever, whenever the garbage is supposed to go out. Sit up in the house. You got brand new phones. You got iPhones. You got all these social media accounts. And a lot of y'all are just not respectful. And I ain't just talking about just a couple of that's in my house. I see it with a lot of y'all teenagers. And I'm telling you something, man. You gonna mess around here because some of your parents are in their 30s, some of them are in their 40s. And you better think about how you treat your mom and your dad, especially if you got a single parent. Because a lot of them, one of my best friends' dad went to sleep the other night and didn't wake up. You understand? It ain't guaranteed that your parents gonna always be here. How you think you gonna feel when they roll your mom and your dad a casket out of that church? And you, the only thing you're going to be left is to sit back and reflect on how you treated your parents that went to work every day to give you everything. Everything. Y'all got everything. Y'all are so blessed. It seems like the more money y'all parents make and the more y'all have, the more unappreciative and disrespectful y'all are. I know I got a college kid right now. I got a nephew who I've been raising the past 10 years. His dad got killed. T. West played college football at Middle Tennessee State University. Probably can take me and dust my whole house with me and whoop me up and down the hall if he wanted to. And here go a kid that went to Clay Chalkville High School, ain't never gave me a problem, ain't never talked back, ain't never whispered a mumbling word. And his brother TJ that go to Miles College, I raised both of these boys for 10 years, ain't never. Then sat up there and buried their father. TJ in the ninth grade, Terrell, 8 years old. Their dad laying up there in the casket. Little girl, Genesis, they go to Ramsey High School. Sitting up there. Couldn't even cry for her own mother's funeral because she was too busy trying to comfort her grandmother. She don't have nobody but her grandmother. She got an uncle that lives in Houston, and she got me. And for some of y'all kids that got everything, and disrespectful, I'm emotional right now for all parents that have to put up with this crap. And the only thing we're trying to do is save your life, keep you from getting killed. Because if your attitude bad, you don't even know how to handle yourself if you get pulled over by the police. Sit at the table with your phones, won't talk, won't clean up the kitchen, won't text, be on social media all day. I'm just going to tell you straight up, all y'all wrong. And I'm going to tell you, man, some of y'all little boys around here, pants sagging, ain't respectful, cussing out your teachers. I feel bad for teachers. I'm an education major. I wouldn't dare walk in the classroom. I feel bad for teachers. I want y'all to know and understand, God sit high and look low. He's watching you. Every time you disrespect a grown person, you are cutting your days short. Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long. See, my daddy disrespected my grandparents. And I was one of them kids that sat there on that front row while my daddy was in that casket. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna sit up here and just fake the funk. My daddy wasn't right. He didn't do what was right. And at 26 years old, he was gone and left a 7-year-old son. And then my mama had to figure it out. And my grandparents had to figure it out. Sit up there and watch my grandparents on the front row crying like that and going through what they was going through. Because you decided not to make the right decision. You have an opportunity of a lifetime to educate yourself and make something happen. Do the right thing, kids. Respect your parents, man. Your parents ain't going to always be here. They ain't going to always be here. And if you mistreat your parents and something happened to them, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. So I hope that touched somebody today, some teenager in the car. Hug your mama, hug your daddy when you get home. Clean up your room. Do what's right. Make good grades. That's all you have to do. All right, Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Hey, earlier today I had a conversation with teenagers.
That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do is respect some authority. Greetings, greetings, greetings. We are on part two of Bebe's Kids. Yes, Bebe's Kids. Discipline and respect. We're going to continue with some biblical spanking. So how many of you remember the movie that Robin Harris was in entitled Bebe's Kids? This movie is about some bad kids. I mean, really bad kids. Okay, when the littlest one's voice sounds like Tone Loc, because he has got this deep voice, you know, Tone Loc voice, you know they're bad. But how did they handle them back in the day? How did we handle them now? Do we spare the rod and spoil the child? Do we let society take over how we used to discipline our children? Where have we gone wrong with the children of today? Why are they so disrespectful? Can we go back to the way we used to be and how our parents disciplined us? What are the consequences? Why? Well, you know who I am. I'm your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Unicycle Design. And I am broadcasting and welcoming you, the worldwide listening audience, on this Tuesday, March the 12th, 2024. And you can call in to 845-241-9985 to be on the air, or to Skype or listen in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do a Radio, or you can even hit me up on text like some of y'all like to do. Miss Finesse Girl, you talking to that? You know how y'all do. And in case you miss an episode, you can always listen on the same website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do a Radio. And you know what? It'd be nice if you would follow us on blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do a Radio. You don't get tired of me saying that, but I want it to be ingrained in your membrane, in your head, and wherever else you need to ingrain it so that you know where to go on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And to keep me on the air so you can listen in, hear my voice, chat, talk, whatever, chop it up, you can donate to Let's Do a Radio, to Cash App, $ANA ISC VAL COUR, or through Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or through Zelle, if you know my cell and my tell. So, worldwide listeners, Let's talk about Bebe's Kids, Discipline and Respect, Part 2. Let's see what we can find out with you from the worldwide listening audience on how you discipline your children, how you got upset with them children, how you wanted to knock them children into next week and hope they bounce back so you can knock them back into next week again and the week after and the week after so that their children and their children's children can feel the wrath. Yes, that's what I said. So, looking forward to hearing what you have to say. So, join us tonight on Let's Do a Radio. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Bebe's Kids, Part 2. You know what? I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Remember when women used to say that? Or I carried you for 9 months. I'll send you back. Or you want to run away, huh? Go ahead. Your clothes and everything you have, you got to leave those here. They were paid for by us, your mama and your daddy. So leave everything right here and just go ahead. Go out there naked because you came in naked. You're going to go out there naked. Go ahead, call the cops. Call CPS. I'll dial the digits for you and hand you the phone. Yes, I'll introduce myself. Hey, this is me. Come and get this bad baby child. But aren't kids supposed to honor their mother and their father? That the days may be long upon the land, which the Lord God giveth thee. Well, your life is going to be cut short if you don't act right. Yeah, that's the ACK, act right. So let's talk about Bebe's Kids, Discipline and Respect. Let me see who we got out here. 7808, let us know who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Norman Hargrove. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hey, how are you, Mr. Norman? How you doing?
Oh,
can
I'm doing just fine.
Good, good, good. Can we talk about Bebe's Kids?
Yeah, it's sad. But you know what? I often think about the days I didn't call the good old days back when I was growing up, 60-something years ago. You know, my mama didn't play. My mama didn't play. It was neighbors that saw me doing things. I would even get a beating before I got home. And then if I got it real good, I would get the triple play. I would get the neighbors, my grandmother, and then my mother would get me. And then maybe my daddy might get me when he get home, according to how you feel. But you know what? Even though I think those days wasn't so hot, I really appreciate the level of making me do the right thing and guide me down the road, even tearing my behind up, because there's a lot of people that are dead now that did not do the right thing. And I guess I can go back and say, you know what? The Bible said, honor your mother and your father, just like you mentioned and the gentleman mentioned, that your days will be long on the earth. And I think about all those kids that didn't, that were bad and they didn't do what their parents say. You know, they're no longer here. They're no longer here.
Right.
But one thing I I did my best to, you know, to treat my children, you know, turn them over to God and teach them the Bible. But one thing I have to say on this show that I do appreciate is there are a lot of bad kids today. Kids are worse than they ever good. But, you know, that's part of Bible prophecy. And I want to reference 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. I encourage all those folks out here to read that, because one thing it does say, that kids in the last days will be disobedient to parents in a big way. They will be unthankful and disloyal. So one thing we can't dispel as people who still learn to treat people with respect is that during the last days, our kids would show us what part of Bible prophecy they would play. And so they would act a certain way, and they are certainly doing it today. But the good part is trying to do the best you can to do what God say. But we can't turn them all around, because some of them are playing a part of being involved in Bible prophecy. We just have to let it go. It is what it is, but I do encourage my neighbors, my, you know, kids, young folks, to have honor, but that's just the way it is. Folks are going to do what they want to do, and especially when it comes to the Bible, we cannot do anything to change Bible prophecy. I mean, you really see it in a big way. It is what it is. But, you know, they playing Bible prophecy. Kids will be disobedient. They won't even have a natural affection. That's why they can turn around and shoot their mother or their father or kill them or whatever they do. They're playing a role of Bible prophecy, but I hope that they turn around and do the right thing, which would really be good for them.
Right. And see, and it's funny because some people don't even believe in the Bible, but yet things from the Bible are coming true today. So, you know, for those of you who do not, you know, believe in the Bible, where do you think some of these prophecies are coming from? Who do you think, you know, gave us these prophecies? Who wrote them down? Who, tell me who they wrote these down. You know, somebody wrote them down. Somebody foresaw 11,000 years ago what was going to happen. And look, it's coming true. It is coming true. And I was told today, someone said that the Bible was written for black people. Huh? Why do you say that? Because, you know, teaching and, you know, how we kids don't act. Well, not all black kids act like this. Everybody's kids act like this. It doesn't matter. You've seen Honey Boo Boo. You've seen how bad some of those kids are. in the stores. They act this is bad. So, you know, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And I know we were talking earlier, Norman, about, you know, sparing the rod and spoiling the child and sparing the rod. I'm still trying to figure out where is that exactly in the Bible. Norman, you got me on mute.
Yes, ma'am. What you were saying, I missed what you were saying this, Nana.
I was just wondering where is it in the Bible where it says to spare the child, spoil the rod, and, you know, where is it? Spoil the rod and spare the child. I'm still trying to find that in the Bible.
Well, that's going to be my homework. I will tell you, I didn't have time to look it up because I went to Bible study myself, but I didn't have a chance to look up, and maybe during the show I can look it up for you. But I do know one thing that it says that too.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I was thinking that the Bible said that, you know, that your days will be long on the earth if you do obey. But then it also says in 2 Timothy 3:1-5 that kids will be disobedient. It's a prophecy. So it's prophesied that they would do it. They would have, be disciplined, and then everything you do for them, they act like you owe them something, but the Bible mentioned that in prophecy. They make you feel, they make the parents and the grandparents feel that they owe them something. So, they're going to get the part that comes with fulfilling the prophecy. And so, but, I mean, to avert that, then, I would encourage them to do, you know, the right thing, but then that's prophecy. No way I can avert that.
Okay. So I'm looking in Korah, and it says in Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And Proverbs 23:13 says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. And Proverbs 29:15, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. So, and then as you were saying, in some other Bible verses, Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces the harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So it's like, okay, didn't nobody say don't spank your child? And so that's where we want to go this evening, is talking about spanking in the Bible. And it says, where did we lose control of our children? Is it because children are having children, or has technology taken over our parenting? Videogram, video games, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. Now we got AI, Facebook, some of this and some of that. Are we watching the wrong role models? Are we no longer role models for our children? Help me understand why children run around the store, and when you see them and ask them, where are your parents? They, the parents, come out and start chastising you for looking out for your, after their children, who are now hellions because they're running through. So this evening I want to talk a little bit about banking and timeouts and removing technology. And the most powerful tool for effective discipline is attention, to reinforce good behaviors and discourage others. Remember, all children want their parents' attention. Catch them being good. Children need to know when they do something bad and when they do something good. And I got this from Very Well Family. Says, unhealthy reasons parents avoid disciplining children. Disciplining children is hard work. It requires constant vigilance, consistency, and thought-provoking effort. So, if we're a little lax on those days, you're tired or overwhelmed, you're not alone. A lack of discipline, however, can be a serious problem. And while it may be tempting to make excuses for your children's behavior, limits and consequences are very important. So, parents fail to discipline children in today's world, and this information comes from Alfredo Menjivar, and he's a staff writer for Talon Marks. And the information I got here is from talonmarks.com/opinions from 2/7/2022. Parents fail to discipline children in today's world. So let me see if he's back in. Let me see if Norman's back. Okay. In today's world, children have become lazier, disrespectful, and spoiled, okay? Leading to them being out of control, making parents or guardians look bad, although they are at fault. The parents are to blame in this situation due to the lack of discipline that is given to a child. It is not being said that a parent should spank or yell at their child. In fact, spanking and yelling makes the situation worse. That's what they say. It is considered child abuse. Okay. Studies also show some positive effects, but more negative effects when it comes to physical punishment. Studies also show that different forms of physical punishment increases aggression, antisocial behavior, and disruptive behavior in school. One of the other problems is giving or letting the child use electronic devices, like I was saying earlier, which distracts them in school. According to the Pew Research Center, and a lot of times I get that information from the good old Pew Research Center, 80% of parents say that their child at the ages of 5 to 11 uses or interacts with a tablet, while 63% say that they use smartphones. See, that's because we give these to be quiet. So we give children technology. And the next thing you know, the child knows more than the parents do about the technology. They do this and do that. Next thing you know, they're in shopping on the home shopping network, and they bought a car. They bought some supplies. They bought all kinds of things. Oh, I like this. Oh, I like this. Oh, I think I need this. I need some new shoes. So according to the Child Mind Institute, the average American child spends 4 to 7 minutes outside, you hear me, 4 to 7 minutes outside and over 7 hours a day in front of a screen. That kind of outweighs a lot of stuff. 4 to 7 minutes outside, where we used to spend the majority of our time outside, and we got in trouble when we didn't come inside. And now it's over 7 hours a day in front of a screen. The solution to this would not be giving your child a device or limiting their screen time. Many parents give a lot of their children because when they were kids, they did not have many toys. nice clothes and electronics. So this is a thoughtful, without discipline, it can spoil a child, impacting them negatively. Spoiled children think that they can have anything they want. No, sirree, nuh-uh. Even if they already have it, and begin demanding more and more. Mm-hmm. Little Susie over there, Mommy, I want this. I tell you, better sit you behind over there in that corner. You're going to be in timeout. But I don't want to be in timeout. You're going to be in timeout. A simple solution, although met with tantrums, would be to give the child what they need and only a little of what they want. Let me do that again. A simple solution, although met with tantrums, would be to give the child what they need and only a little of what they want. That's a good thing we need to talk about. See if he's back yet. Okay, he's back. Okay, making some noise back there. A good example to show the child how to get what they want is to have them to do good in school, okay, behave, and then perform good deeds, like chores around the house, you know, help around the house, because there's a lot of, you know what, parents don't make all the mess in the house. Children make a lot of the mess in the house, so they need to clean up after themselves. And if they don't clean up after themselves, they don't get to use their electronics. So once they clean up, pick up, and do what they need to do, do some good deeds, then they get to spend some time on their electronics. But no, we don't want to hear the child's mouth. We don't want to see them have tantrums. So we give them, you know, to ease our pain, I think, more than to ease a child's pain, we give them what they want and not necessarily what they need. So the best thing to do when disciplining a child is to keep cool and not throw a tantrum. It sets a bad example. Establishing a mature response helps better communication and makes acceptable behavior easy to understand. As it is good to say, stay calm when parenting a child, it is acceptable to show frustration and let your child know you are not happy with their behavior. It is important to discipline your child not only to make them better people as they get older, but so that they can be happier. Poor discipline could also lead to mental health problems. Mental health problems, okay. So how do we discipline kids nowadays? Is spanking biblical? I found some information on www.focusonthefamily.com. Parenting is spanking biblical. Okay, let me see if I can bring Mr. Norman back. Let me see here. Okay, he may be on mute though. But one of the strongest One of the strongest statements about discipline is in Proverbs 23:13-14, which states, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." Okay, so in the Bible it even says, you know, spanking a child. So it goes way back to the Bible days that the child's going to be spanked. Did they have mental illness then? We don't know. We weren't there. But still, you know. Mr. Norman, what you doing in the background?
Nothing.
Oh, because there's a lot of noise back there.
Oh, I'm in a quiet place now.
Okay. Many people get stuck on the rod in the passage, but the focus here should be on discipline. Scripture makes it clear that discipline is done as loving guidance, correction, and teaching, not punishment. What do you think, Mr. Norman? Do you think it's correction?
No, I think it's discipline and loving guidance. Okay, we don't have to play games here. We have seen when you don't discipline and correct the child, what that child turns out to be. I mean, I know right now a person, every time they go to the store, they got to buy their children $12 to $15 worth of stuff, and the child almost demands it. When the child can't have its way, then he rolls the car window down and throws something out the window, and they got to go pick it up. But that wouldn't occur with me, because if that child threw something out the window because they were mad with me, it's going to stay out the window. And then, first of all, I wouldn't have that problem anyway, because that child is going to get they're going to get some really bad treatment because it wasn't acting right. And so I think one of the problems is too many of the parents is trying to be the child's friend instead of being the child's teacher and educator. And I would say this, that I'd rather have discipline for my parents, if any, than to have the discipline of God, because it ain't going to be too pretty if God has to take over and do your job. Okay?
Oh, Lord.
No, it's just the way it is. I mean, you think about it now, during the time of Noah, and everything I'm saying is biblical. During the times of Noah, when the flood came, it was so many children out there floating in the water. Because they, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to turn out to be like their parents, because they were living in a wicked world at that time. Especially today, if you do not do your parents' bidding and honor your parents, then God's going to take over. And then now you're going to have to play devil indemnity now, because God is going to demand that that child is either obedient or it's got to go. Okay? That might sound a little rash, but that's just the way it is.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And as a matter of fact, I watched Noah today, the movie Noah, and you know, all the people being drowned and what have you. It's like, that, since you brought that up and everything. But personally, discipline teaches us to avoid sinful behavior, just as you're saying. It's dangers and its emptiness and its natural consequences. So instead, we are to pursue true fulfillment and satisfaction through a relationship with Christ. Corporately, discipline keeps ours from being a selfish, lawless, dysfunctional society. And that's what's wrong now. We are not selfish. We always want. There's no law, basically, and we are dysfunctional. We are a dysfunctional society now, with all these kids going out and suiting up to schools and doing all these other things. If the mother would nurture the child, if the father would nurture the child or have some semblance in the child's life, maybe the child wouldn't be the way that they are. The children wouldn't be the way that they are. So you got to keep in mind, we're all children and parents. I was somebody's child. Now I'm a parent. So this, the cycle just keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going. So highly imperfect beings. So, you know, we ain't perfect by no means, no rhyme or reason. So we all have imperfections, and we all need to, be chastised one way or another. Our goal in parenting isn't raising perfect children, but rather to develop kids who know how to make good decisions driven by godly wisdom as emphasized in Proverbs and throughout the Scripture. With those things in mind, there are some circumstances when spanking makes sense and others where spanking is not fitting. So let's talk about some of these things. What do you think? You and I, go ahead.
I mean, I like to think, because I'm quick off the off the finish line, off the start line, when you say things like that, because I know in throughout the Bible, especially in Revelation, which is the ending of it all, Jesus tells his followers that all that he whom he loved, he disciplines. So do you really love your child if you don't discipline them? And then, you know, I saw a part in the Bible today I was reading in Psalms would say, who would be a guest in God's tent? Who really would be a guest in God's tent? Well, could you imagine some bad child, God accepting their bad child into his tent? Well, we know that's not true. So, like I said before, they're more likely to get the parents to discipline them, because if God has to do it, it's going to be much more severe.
See, I'm still trying to. Let's see. If, still don't see in the Bible it talks about, you know, sparing the child, and because I put in child and I put in rod, and we got some Bible verses out there, but nothing about, you know, spoiling and sparing. At least, well, it may be out there. I just have to maybe delve a little bit deeper.
I do know that the Bible says that if you train up a child according to the way, and that's including discipline, that he might leave, but he's going to come back. Okay, if you train that child up right, he might leave the laws of God and the laws of his parents, but he's going to come back because he's going to realize one day that his parents was trying to save him, was trying to make his road straight. And but I mean today you got some parents that are worse than the kids, and you got the kids disciplining the parents. So it's just all Bible prophecy. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. But any smart child, is going to go with God's law, because God's law is for the survival and the longevity of that child, you know.
But they have to be taught God's law before they can go by God's law. And if you don't have God in your house, then how are they going to act right? So how are they going to know the laws? How are they going to know how to act if they don't have that presence in the home, correct?
Well, you're correct, but I said just human instinct is that a child would listen to their parents even if they don't know better sometimes. And then, you know, you got the true God, you got the living God looking on. And so if that child don't know really better but is struggling with that, but God would cause that child to know better. But, I mean, those who just take it, you know, and run with it, well, they got the judgments of God that's going to be on them. And so whether they listen or not, well, they got to deal with what the true God is going to put on them. And I just really suggest that a child do the right thing, even though it's hard for anybody to do the right thing, but at least lean that way like you want to, because with that being the case, you know, God and the angels are looking at this particular person. I mean, I have known angels and God to look at this person from a very young age, and even though they was misguided a little bit, they still had some core principle that they went by. And so, you know, they're just part of being a part of this system of things, with the devil being, you know, leader and misrepresenting things on the earth, you know? So.
So, I mean, here's a helpful guide to the question. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I see cases where children really run the parents. I know of cases personally where the child tells the parents what to do. You know, like I was just saying about the child that roll the window down and throw everything, when he get mad, he throw everything outside, riding down the street. Well, with me, it would stay outside. I wouldn't dare get out there and try to find it, but then, I mean, something has to start with that child realize what he's doing is wrong. And when that parent don't do anything, well, it kind of sets that child up for a disaster in the long run.
Yes, it does. So, is spanking biblical? Spanking may be appropriate when a child is in an extremely unsafe situation, deliberately defiant and disobedient, severely disrespectful. And spanking is not appropriate when a child is simply being childish, impulsive, or had an accident. Well, sometimes some of these children cause some of these accidents. But so is spanking biblical in an extremely unsafe situation? So in that, well, in my case, I was talking about last week, where my brother held a knife to my neck. That's unsafe. That's very unsafe. Yeah. And because he was, you know how older brothers are with younger sisters. You know, I got on his nerves, so he just had the knife to my neck. And my mom and dad walked into the house, and definitely my older brother and that brother got a spanking because that was an unsafe situation. So, you know, that's how that happened. You know, the boys got the spanking, but the girls didn't. So I ain't getting no spanking.
Yeah.
Regardless of how mad somebody makes you, you don't do that. But these days, if you make somebody mad, you don't know if they're carrying, they're going to just shoot you or chop you up or do something these days. So it's like, it's just scary. So forget spankings these days. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go and get a knife and stab you or do whatever. So, so 5 biblical principles for spanking. If spanking is to become a part of your parenting toolkit, it should be done with the fruit of the Spirit as a foundation. So, 1, focus on love, and that's what you were saying earlier, Norm. Within a loving parenting relationship, believe it or not, spanking can be an important time of connection. Connect, all right, when it's done with calmness and explanation and immediate reconnection. Effective spanking involves responding in love, not reacting in fear, the fear that you've lost control of this human you are raising. Spanking outside of loving relationship only produces angry kids, kids who are more likely to rebel than participate in a relationship with their parents. Throughout the Psalms, especially Psalms 119, David provides the visual representation of God who is trustworthy and loving in his correction, even though it's sometimes uncomfortable. So, let me see, Psalms 119. Is that Psalm 119? Let me see how long this is. Oh, it has 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. It's a long one. But it would be good for those of you who want to read it. It's got like 176 verses. So
wow.
It's Psalms 119. So, that'd be a good one to have engraved somewhere, either in your child's behind so they would know. Just kidding. But since thy hands have made me and fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. But it's just some of the things as I'm scrolling through, I'm like, okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, I have to look back. Yeah, I have to look back at the scriptures where God had the Israelites to read the law to their children, you know, when they went to bed, when they got up, when they walked on the road or whatever they're doing. God saw fit to constantly teach that child his law. And because at that time, man was imperfect because of what our first parents did to us, then we became imperfect. So God knew that we needed adjustment here and there because the first parents before the sin didn't need adjustment. They only needed to follow God's law. But, you know, but children now need adjustment, and I mean discipline, no matter what form. Long as you ain't threatening that child's life, you are to administrate discipline to that child from the scriptures. And when you think of the chain of command, God gave the men and the women the chain of command to train the children. You know, for example, the head of man is the Christ. The head of the Christ is God. The head of woman is man. But the children on the bottom, it's a chain of command there that must be followed, the rules. And if the children can't respect the rules, then they don't have – they don't have no approval from the man that the person that sits on top, and that is Almighty God Himself. So you have to discipline them.
And because if not, they'll just you know, we would always say, I'm going to beat you to within an inch of your life. You know, we always say those things, but who's really going to do that? We're going to beat a child to an inch within his life.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Just an inch.
I wouldn't say that ever,
but
even though I
have
thought
heard
that way.
That, though.
Oh, yes, I have heard that, but that wouldn't be a good thing to tell a child, that you're going to beat him within an inch of his life. I mean, if you love that child, then you do what's necessary to correct that child, but you wouldn't say things like that. I know I wouldn't.
But then you have your parents who would, and you have your parents who wouldn't, because, you know, those who lead with a loving hand, no, they're not going to do it. But those who are doing it because they're emotional, they're going to say those things. They're truly going to say those things. I brought you into this world. I can take you out, you know. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I've heard that
until, I'm going to beat you until your grandchildren's can feel it. That's some serious beating. That's a lot of longevity there. But people do say that, and it's just like, really? Okay, you just going to do that to your child? And then you see the effects of when a person does, quote unquote, spank, beat their children. They have black eyes. They have broken arms, broken legs, fat lips.
Oh, no, that's
you know, all
that's
these kind of things. And it's, that's over the top, only because you were mad, and it's probably because you are taking out the punishment that your parents gave to you some years ago. And I'm on, as they say, I'm going to, as your parents would say, I'm going to make your children's children feel it. So then that's what they're doing. You're making your child feel the wrath of what the grandparents did because you were bad. And so then it just keeps on going on and on and on down the line until it's rectified. And so you got to look for other discipline options before choosing to spank. That's number two, where there's imminent danger and you need to get the child's attention so he doesn't repeat the behavior. Or when the other tools in your discipline toolkit haven't been productive in a particular circumstance, a spank may be appropriate. But I mean, you know, I just hated to spank my child. I think I spanked her maybe five times in her 38 years, maybe five. You know, and it's probably because I was mad, and so she got the wrath of how I was feeling at that point in time, which is not good. So then at that point, you need to count at least 10 so the spanking wouldn't be as bad. Or you think about, do I really need to do this? Just like in the movie Noah, where the daughter had two girls, and he was going to kill the girls because he was mad. You know, we can't have more children on the ark because that is not what the Creator said. The Creator didn't tell you to kill the children. If it's a woman or a male or a female, still, you know, that's life. That's precious life. And it, sometimes it's hard to give life. You mean, Ela or something was her name. And she was barren before she got on the ark. And after her grandfather, I think it was Methuselah, I think that's who it was, had removed that curse off of her, and she felt free. And she didn't feel like she was trapped. And so the point that I'm making is, you know, the father, Noah, was mad because he was having children. I was like, God had you to bring two by twos on the ark. Why can't you have, now you have two sets of girls. So what's the deal? What's the deal? And so Noah says, I could see the love in their eyes. I couldn't kill them. So, you know, sometimes we just have to look at our parents and then they'll just take all the evilness out and just, you don't want to spank. I couldn't bring myself to spanking my child. I looked at their eyes and their eyes looked at me and I looked at them and they looked brand new. And you know the song. But anyway, so a lot of times we have to think about why we are spanking our children. But these children these days, they need a beat down. Sorry, but they just need a beat down. And number three, maintain self-control. That's what I was talking about. and avoid anger. I was just talking about that. This is hard. Kids know how to push your buttons, which can seemingly shut down our brains and our self-control. A timeout will help you get back on your mental game and avoid an impulsive and effective correction. So instead, be number one. Go back to number one. Focus on love. Why are you doing this? You know, was it so bad something that the child did? Maybe it was. And, you know, the child was bad. So you want to take out everything you can on that child and just almost beat the child into submission or until, like I said, one inch of its life until you realize this is just a child. I didn't teach him. I need to teach him better. I didn't teach him right. That's why they did what they did, because they didn't know. And now that they know and I'm here beating them, and it's like, So some children know, like you said, you know how to push a button. They know how to push some buttons. So some of the biggest parenting mistakes stem from our own anxiety about losing control or feeling inadequate. Self-control, on the other hand, requires seeing the big picture of our role as teacher and mentor, guiding our kids to live out God's intended purpose for their lives. What do you have to say on that, Norman? Norman?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear what I was just saying about some of the biggest parents? Go ahead.
No, go ahead and say some of the biggest what?
Some of the biggest parenting mistakes stem from our own anxiety about losing control or feeling inadequate. We lose self-control, and on the other hand, it requires seeing a big picture on our role as a teacher and mentor, guiding our kids to live out God's intended purpose for their lives. So, you know, sometimes we need to spank the kids so that it's like, look, you know, what you did was not right. So therefore, you deserve to be spanked, punished, or whatever, you know, how you ever want to deal with the child, spanking or punishment, put them in the corner, or maybe even do them both sometimes, and taking away their technology. Because that, I think, hurts them more than anything, than a spanking.
Oh, yeah.
Do believe.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that, especially mm-hmm. during the times we're living in, where technology is king.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, when mm-hmm. it comes to discipline, when it came to discipline, I always took some privileges away, especially
mm-hmm.
If I knew they weren't doing right. If they weren't doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
I took privileges away. I just didn't let, I see parents that play with their children, they still case in point, you know, when my mother told me she was
uh-huh.
going to discipline me back in the day, if I thought my mother forgot, I don't care if it's 2:00 in the morning and I went to bed, I was asleep for a couple of hours. Yeah, you're laughing, but you remember those days when your parents, my mother woke me up out of my sleep, tearing me up.
Out of a good old sleep. Tear you behind up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you was hoping they forgot, but they didn't. Back in them days, they didn't forget nothing, okay? And if you told me you were going to get a spanking, you got that spanking. And I remember my grandparents. Oh, yeah. I remember my grandparents telling me to go and pick out a switch, and I better bring back a nice one, or they go, I don't want to think about the one they were going to get. And so, but those days don't exist anymore. And it's just like the Bible says that the parents don't discipline the children. Some of the children act better than the adults. So, I mean, you know, you just got to deal with what's going on. But it's all Bible prophecy, how people will act during the last days. I don't really think we can do anything about it because it's getting worse than it has ever been. Okay?
We need to take it back. We do need to take it back, or at least try to take it back, you know. But it, like I said, it's in the prophecy. It's in the Bible, so it's going to happen, but maybe we can lessen the blow or something by trying to win our kids back. Try really hard, really, really hard. Have you ever seen a weeping willow tree?
Years ago, yes, I have.
Because you don't see those anymore. I haven't seen a weeping willow tree in forever. We used to have one in the front of our yard. Yeah.
I think they were leaves that didn't have any bark. They didn't have any bark on them.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't. But those were the switches that Mama would tell us to go get from the weeping willow tree.
Wow. Probably burn
them trees down because I don't want to get spanked by no weeping willow tree because, shoot, those are the kind, those are the switches that we had to go get. But from the weeping willow tree. And we were weeping all right. Yes, but I have not seen a weeping willow tree, and that was, let's see, on base. So, that was probably about 60-some years ago.
Well, you know, I think if we did have a weeping willow tree today, parents wouldn't really use it because it just all goes with the prophecy that children, I guess they'd be let loose so long that children really wouldn't respect their parents anymore. And so we can see across the world what is happening because of the lack of discipline that kids do have. And that's why they're committing all these atrocities and things of that nature. All has to do with Bible prophecy.
Right. That's true. That is so, so true. And so sometimes you wish you could just change what's being prophesied, but, we're not here to change it. We just have to live out them days. Whatever is good, number four. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying you can't change them. It's impossible for us to change God's law. I mean, all you can do is do your best to discipline your child. But after a certain point in time, that child comes up into God's hands. There's really nothing the parents can do anyway because now that child has to account for God for the things that it does. And so you can soften the blow by teaching them, you know, to do the right thing. But if you don't and that child is let loose, well, then God's going to have to train them. And I don't think they want training that God is going to give them, you know.
And, you know, we used to christen the child and give them back to God. So, you know, hopefully those children know how to act. But those children who weren't given to God, goodness, that's where the downfall is, I think, because a lot of children weren't given back to God. And so, you know, as I was saying earlier, we have children raising children. And so, therefore, you know, depending on where you are in that, where you fall in that, you know, child raising child, you don't probably never got baptized or didn't act right. So your mom and dad are probably... some of them may have been drug addicts. Some of them may be in jail. Some moms may be working 2 and 3 jobs just to put food and stuff on the table and keep a roof over their head. And the daddy's not in the home or he's gone or, you know, incarcerated or something. So, you know, we have to, that's where it comes in where the village raises a child. And, you know, some of the villages have diminished. You know, we don't have Big Mom anymore. We don't have Medea. We don't have those women or men to help raise the children because the parents are not around. So it's hard. It's really, really hard. But, you know, it's just gotten out of hand so bad that, where can we go get these children back, you know? And number four of this article says, whatever is good, whatever is noble. In our modern culture, thinking has an expiration date in terms of discipline. I didn't know that. At Focus, we recommend that spanking only be used as a discipline measure for a short period of time early in your child's life. The Bible doesn't address a specific age range for this type of discipline, but developmentally, spanking is appropriate only between the ages of 18 months and 6 to 7 years. Child, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Beyond that, it can breed disconnection and passive-aggressive favors or behaviors. I don't know. I don't know about that. 18 months and 6 or 7 years old. I don't even see. Sometimes children older may need to be spanked as well. Sometimes. I guess it just depends on what they do. Okay. And number 5, only spank privately. No, baby. I disagree with a lot of these things this article is written about. If possible, then this is when life has to pause for a very important time of teaching, so you want to take whatever time necessary. Of course, there are those rare times when the spanking is appropriate immediately. For example, when your young child runs into the street, obviously that's a safety hazard your child needs to avoid in the future, and the spanking will help him remember. But, I mean, and I don't know if that's a good example, for the simple fact, if the child has not been taught not to go out to the street, then how are you going to give them a spanking? If you taught your child not to go out into the street and the child consistently does it, true. But if you have not taught your child not to go out in the street, you know, then why are you going to give them a spanking? So it just—that's like kind of a gray area to me on the going out in the street. But they're basically saying about safety. You know, if you providing safety hazards or safety information for your child to attain, so that they can live longer, that'd be different. That's totally different. You want to say something, Norm?
No, I'm just soaking up all this good information. But like I said, Sister Inez, you know, I came up during a time where a lot of fathers were at home. And I mean, I can't blame the child a lot because they're not getting disciplined because there's no man that has not been in the house. And it looked like they studied and leaving. But, I mean, I guess I would have to be focusing on God-fearing children and not just the ones that belong to the devil. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, everything that I'm saying, I'm trying to say it from a biblical standpoint, because anything else belongs to Satan, okay? And I mean, you know, I just want to let you know, I'm not trying to be harsh on children, but then I also got to realize that the scriptures say that in the last day, children will play a specific role in human history, and that is being disobedient, since the devil misleads the entire inhabited earth until, you know, John 5:19 says that the devil is misleading the entire inhabited earth, and they would include children as well. So.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. I understand. And parenting, you all, is full of uncertainties. But one thing is for sure, your investment in teaching and guidance pays off. Eventually, in grown kids, you want to be around. And who wants to be around you? Because sometimes when my daughter, all of her kids wanted me to, Mama, would you take us here? Would you take us there? Would you pick us up? You know, because they loved me. They just I guess, liked my spirit. So they were always asking Siobhan if Siobhan's mom could take us here, there, this place and that place, and so on and so forth. So I was like, okay, all right. I got more dollars than I anticipated. So, but it, you know, it was kind of them to appreciate me because I showed them, you know, showed them love or whatever, and try to, you know, help them become, you know, great young ladies. So I don't know if they all became great young ladies, but a few of them did. So I guess my working was not in vain. Not in vain.
Correct.
Correct.
Are you talking about your daughter, or are you talking about your granddaughter?
I'm talking about my daughter.
Okay, well, you did your job then. As long as you did your best and gave it your best, then you know, you won't be held accountable.
Right. That's true. That is so true. And we were talking about, you know, train a child up in the way he or she should go. Here's top 7 Bible verses for new parents. So if there's any new parents out there listening, you can always call in 845-241-9985, 845-241-9985, and just chat with us, you know, talk with us about, you know, how do you, you know, how are you going to train your child, teach your child? And these days, a lot of kids aren't even thinking about parenting, becoming parents, because it's like, I don't want to raise my child in this society. No way. Thank you, but no thank you. I want to extend my life and have, you know, grandchildren and so on and so forth. But in the way that this society is, I'm all good. I'm all good. So I found this from the www.kingschurchkc.com, and it's top 7 verses for new parents. Becoming a parent is a life-changing experience that brings immense joy and happiness, but it can also be overwhelming and stressful. As a new parent, you may be looking for guidance and support to help you navigate this new journey. You know, a lot of people say, is there a book on how to become a new parent? There is, but there isn't, but there is. So the Bible provides a wealth of wisdom and encouragement for parents and there are several verses that can help new parents in particular. Here are some of the most inspiring Bible verses for new parents. Proverbs 22:6, and that's what you were saying earlier, Mr. Norman. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse emphasizes the importance of teaching children to follow the right path in life and the impact early training can have on their future. That is so, so true. You train them up the way that you want you should go. And now that could work two ways, because you can teach your child to be just as evil as you are sometimes. And it's not a good thing, but it's not the way that he or she should go, but that's just the way he or that you are showing him or her. So a lot of times, and you'll see people say, oh, he followed his dad's footsteps or his mama's footsteps. And you can tell a child who does. You can definitely tell a child who follows in their parents' footsteps, good, bad, or otherwise, or indifferent. You definitely will. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. This verse reminds us to incorporate teaching and sharing about God into everyday lives and conversations of our children. Because you can tell when a child is really being taught in the church. I mean, even on a lot of these videos, these TikTok videos and everything else, these children are, woo-wee. They can quote the Bible better than some preachers can quote the Bible. It's all been, and then they're not playing church. They are actually into preaching. So, you know, train the child in the way you want him to go. If you want to be a preacher and he sees you preaching or she sees you preaching, continue to let them watch you, because that's a role model that they aspire to be, a preacher or a preacher, I guess preacher, or a female preacher. So, you know, just depending on what you're doing in life, you want to be the best role model that you can be so that your child can be a good role model as well. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. This emphasizes the importance of discipline in raising children and the potential benefits it can bring to both the child and the parent. So if you read the Bible together and went over these verses, you could talk to your child about them. And this, you know, this is what this verse says. It's like, if I discipline you, son, you know, he's going to make sure you got some rest, some time off. He's going to take care of you, you know. And so, where am I? Oh, I think I missed one. I sure did. And he will delight. Where am I? I am just losing myself. I just lost all myself. I just, Let's go back. I said Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son and he will give you rest and he shall delight to your heart. And this disciplines the raising of your children and the potential benefits it can bring both of you. And that's just what it is. But I done missed a whole bunch of verses. Psalms 127, 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. This verse reminds us that children are a gift from God, just like I was saying earlier from the movie Noah, and should be treasured as such. Don't be throwing your children out with the bathwater, literally. If you don't want your child, and there are places to take your child, if you have a child and you just can't raise a child, take them to the fire station. You know, you may have your child for a few days, and it's like, I can't do this. I just can't do it. Take your child to the fire station, and they will look after your child and get it to the prospective place. So you don't have to worry about, you know, anonymity, I guess you can say, and that the child will be put up for adoption and will be well taken care of. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and these words that I command you today shall be in your heart and teach them diligently to your children. Oh, I didn't read that one. They shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So basically, this verse reminds us to incorporate teaching and sharing about God into our everyday lives and conversations. That's what I was saying earlier. I just got lost in all these words. And when I start talking, I just get lost. So sorry, excuse me, pardon me. But yes, when you tell them about this, it's just basically a simple way and a good path to lead your children down. And so have them memorize that if necessary so that they can remember that for the rest of their life and forever. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And basically this is saying the importance of parenting with love and discipline, and also incorporating instruction about God and his ways. So not just our ways, but in God's ways too. And if you put God into a lot of this stuff, a lot of these things wouldn't be happening. But we done forgot about the man upstairs. So look at where we are now. Look at the turmoil that we're in. Yep, we're in turmoil. So start reading the Bible, and that's why I'm giving you these Bible verses so you can write them down and share them with your children. Proverbs 29:17, I think I said this. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest and will give you delight in your heart. I read that one. Mark 10:14, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such of these. This tells us about the value and importance of children and in God's eyes, and encourages us to foster their spiritual growth and development. So, says, let the children come to me. Give back to God. You know, because if something happens to you or if something happens to the child, you know, God will take care of both of you and the child. So, you know, children are precious. They're just precious. You know, we got some bad babies kids out there, but, you know, good children are usually really good. But we, them bad children, those are, we call it possessed children, not good. So if you let the children come to me, which is to Christ, and do not hinder them, don't try to dissuade them from not coming, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So God's house belongs to the children. You know, a child shall lead them. You know, a lot of times that may just be literal, because a lot of times we are all children in Christ's eyes. You know, so doesn't necessarily mean a child, but it could mean a child will lead them. So, you know, give your child back to Christ. Like you see in the African movies, you know, where you hold the child up to the stars and then pray and, you know, give it back to God. That's what we need to do, go before God in nakedness and just be blessed in that aspect, okay? Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. This verse reminds us to be careful in how we treat and speak to our children. But let me read again. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And this verse reminds us to be careful of how we treat and speak to our children. Because if you speak and treat your children any kind of way, that's how they're going to grow up as any kind of way. Then you're going to wonder, what happened to my child? Where did I go wrong? Then when they don't listen and they don't want to hear what you have to say, you have to think about, did I really teach them? Did I really show them how to act and what to say? And so then, you know, there's nothing you can do because you didn't act right, A-C-K, right? Yep, I said act. Mm-hmm. So these verses provide inspiration and guidance for new parents, and it doesn't even have to be new parents. It could be for all parents as they embark on the journey of raising their children. Through faith and the guidance of these teachings, parents can help their children grow and thrive in all aspects of life, including spirituality, emotionally, and physically. Yes, 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 yes. That was 7 Bible verses for new parents. I think that's just Bible verses for all parents. But if you're having a hard time in how to discipline your child, these 7 verses are wonderful. Proverbs 22:6, Deuteronomy 6:6-7, Psalm 127:3, Ephesians 6:4, and Proverbs 29:17. And 7 is Colossians 3:21. So these are things that you need, that would be good on either a piece of paper or ingrained in your mind, so that you will think about these Bible verses, and then you could discipline your children right, proper, as they say. Okay. How do you handle disrespectful children? Norman, you still out there with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have anything you want to say?
No, I was just thinking about what you said about how do you handle disrespectful children. I would say there's a number of ways to do so, but if you want to give them the best advice,
you should tell them about the advice that the Bible gives. That's the best advice. Mm-hmm. I mean, there ain't another best-selling novel, a best-selling book on the planet that can give them better advice than the scriptures. And so you're absolutely doing the right thing by telling them God's law, and that's why God wanted you to talk to them to begin with and continually teach his law to them, because they are problems. And then you can head them off at the path if you continue to impound God's law on that child's mind. And but I mean, I think a lot of parents too. A lot of them work a lot. They got a lot of things to do. They're struggling to put food on the table. And a lot of times, that child is sitting in front of the TV or they're on social media, and so that really becomes their parents. And whether they train them to be upright. Whether they train them to be do bad things, well, you have to consider that too. You know, who are your child spending a lot of their time with? See, is it God? Mm-hmm. Is it you? Is it the TV and social media? And Satan uses these things against them, so you got to keep that in consideration as well.
Right, certainly. And if you have to write. Jot some stuff down and keep it in your membrane book, you know, because, you know, you can't remember everything. Well, somebody out there probably can, but I am not that one. So you can always go back and listen to the show at www.theblogtalkradio.com/Let's Do a Radio. And you can always join me on the air at 845-241-9985. So 10 ways to handle disrespectful behavior. This is by Amy Morin, and I found this under www.verywellfamily.com, ways to deal with disrespectful children. If your child rolls their eyes and say, whatever, Mom, when you tell them to start their homework or pretend they can't hear you and you tell them to turn off the electronics, they are on the mild end of the disrespect spectrum. So on the store, on a more serious end of the spectrum, behaviors such as name-calling, disregarding rules, and physical aggression. So, you know, when you wrote them, I used to roll my eyes, and I had this friend, if you're going to roll them, you better control them. I think you wanted to just slap the roll from my eyes because I was notorious for rolling my eyes. You look at my eyes, it's like, some things you can hide, some things you can't. You can't hide an eye roll, not from me anyway. So no matter where your child falls on the spectrum, it's important to address disrespect before it gets worse. A 2015 study conducted by researchers at the University of Virginia found that disrespectful children are more likely to become rude adults. Let me say that one more again. A study conducted by researchers at the University of Virginia found that disrespectful children are likely to become rude adults. I believe that too. I certainly do. I certainly do. While you might be tempted to excuse disrespect by saying things like, kids will be kids, brushing them off won't do your child any favors. Kids need to learn how to treat others with respect so they can develop healthy relationships with peers, authority, and family members. Effective consequences can help. Yes, they can. Yes, Lord, they can. Certainly help. Mm-hmm. So, your child's disrespect may be a sign that they need help learning socially appropriate ways to manage anger and wealth with frustration and communicate effectively. You want to say something, Mr. Norm?
Yes, you know, I can think of a lot of things that happen down the line to kind of get kids in this position. One of the things is they took prayer out of school. And then somewhere along the line, children forgot how to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, sir, yes, sir. They forgot all about that. And one thing I did, I really impounded on my kids, was that they would respect the elders. And, you know, when they didn't answer correct, yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, whatever, then I would constantly remind them, no, you cannot do that. And so I think just the world together has lost all the respect for your senior, you know, for their seniors and for people who should be have authority over them. They just lost all respect. And so I would say to try to incorporate that back into the children, okay? And make them understand that there is a figures that are above them and not below them. Because kids, they think that all adults are below them, you know?
No. And what was I going to say? You know, when you talk about the elders and stuff, you know, as hard as we as elders try to get that respect back, they don't care. You know, they just walk by, like, you know, laughing, like, you ain't going to sell that, you know. And it's just craziness, just so crazy, where we can't seem to keep our children, I want to say, on a leash, but on a leash, you know, because they have become so disrespectful, and they have become, what do you want to call it, so out of control, you know. And like I said earlier, technology is teaching them. They'll be watching, like, not Fortnite, because I guess that's more child-friendly, but, you know, Call of Duty or some shows that show, what do you want to call it, lots of violence. And so that's what they want to do. They want to show violence too. And it's like, oh, no, boo-boo, mm-mm. You know, no, uh-uh.
Well, you wonder where they get these guns
and everything.
You gotta understand that those are things that are the way of the world. The world loves sex. They love violence. They love even the video games. Most that you buy, either they're violent or they have some type of occult type overtone. I mean, there's so much that we can blame on technology. Or if you're not watching it, they'll be trained. If it's not by you, they'll be trained by the TV, social media, train your children. So it's so many different platforms in which you can train your children. If you ain't careful, that's where they're going to get it from. So the parents have to take more of an active role, not just spanking the child, but showing the child by example. And we don't see a lot of that like we used to today. It was certain things that adults wouldn't do that they do today. So, we're just overloading our child with different things that are not right. But, I mean, it's the way of the world. I mean, music is that way. I mean, even in some churches it's that way. I mean, where the pastor body has different things. They have twerkers. Oh. They got different things in church venues that shouldn't even be in a church. It's unimaginable. But we got all these things, and then we got school itself. So even if you got a child that's trying to do the right thing, so many people are disrespectful, they don't want to stand out in the crowd, and so they become disrespectful themselves. So we really got to do a lot better job as parents and leaders in the community to help our children. Our children are not going to get what they need to make adjustments.
They do definitely need to make adjustments. Ooh-wee. And this next part, your child, let me see, I think what happened is I hit my keyboard, and it may have erased. Okay, nope. So, as we're talking about, you know, disrespectful kids and everything, and rolling the eyes and so on and so forth, you know, throwing tantrums and so on and everything else, it's going to be okay. while you might be tempted to excuse disrespect by saying things like kids will be kids and brushing it off, won't do your child any favors. Kids need to learn how to treat others with respect so that they can develop healthy relationships with peers, authority figures, and family members. Effective consequences can help. So, you know, if they have consequences to the way they act, like, and say, you know, taking away their technology or children will get out the house. I was going to say keep them in the house, but children will find a way to get out the house one way or another. So I can't say that per se. But, you know, what do you do? Because next thing you know, when you do that, then the child is starting to threaten you. And so what do you do? You know, do you fear for your life because your child is you know, threatening you because you decide to take away their phones or their pads or their computers or whatever? Well, I'm going to so-and-so's house. No, you're not leaving up out of here today. Not tonight. Mm-mm. You're going to stay up in that room, just like Brandy said, up in your room, and you're not going nowhere. Nowheres. You're standing behind right where you are. You're not going to disrespect my authority. I brought you into this world. That's what we always say, too. effective consequences can help, but what are effective consequences? Your child's disrespect may be a sign that they need help learning socially appropriate ways to manage anger, deal with frustration, and communicate effectively. And, you know, some kids have that ADHD and LMNOP and trying to be this and whatever else. So then we give them medicine. Then they start looking all crazy and they don't act because they're so drugged up with, you know, Ritalin or whatever else that they have to give these children these days. I don't even know this anymore. I don't even know if they do Ritalin or they just go to counseling. So how do you come across to these children? How do you help them learn socially? How do you help them manage their anger? You know, because after you tell them something, next thing you know, sorry to say, they won't want to commit suicide because they didn't like the way that they were being spoken to. You're my child. I can be able to speak to you like that. You know, but some kids are so sensitive these days. You know, they're so sensitive that it's like, well, dang, Gina, why?
That's not true.
You know,
that's
why
not
am
true,
I even?
Uh-huh. That's not true. I mean, I want you to think about something. You know, a lot of parents with their overtones and the way they approach their children is do as I say and not as I do. But that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to set examples if you want your, you know, the Bible says, let your no mean no and your yes mean yes. But you really have to set examples that your children can follow. Other than that, they're going to follow everything else they see. And so sometimes it's the parent and not the children. Maybe the parent needs some adjustment so that the children can do the right thing. But if the parent is constantly not doing the right thing, but how you expect your children to be doing the right thing as well?
Right, right, exactly. Exactly. Because you have to go get help just so that you can help your children a lot of times, which is crazy. But that's what happens. That's what happens. It just, that's all I got to say. Because we need help on trying to help our own children. And that's sad, but it's true. It is sad, but it is true. Because we forget how to interact with our child because we've been interacting with adults all day. We forgot to bring it down a notch or two so that we can talk to our children. And which is sad because we just be forgetting, just like policemen, you know, they don't leave their job outside. They bring it home, you know, and then they bring it upon their kids. And it's like, what do you do? How do you handle the situation? How do you We call it divide up all the things that go on in your life. Some people can do it. Some people have tried to do it. But then there are others who's just like, it ain't working. It's not happening. And things become worse, and then kids get out of hand, and they leave and run away from the home and, you know, go somewhere. Next thing you know, they're on drugs or being trafficked. So, yeah. So, it's sad. It's sad, but that's the way it's the way the world is going. That is just the way the world is going. So, ignore attention-seeking behavior. So if your child is throwing a tantrum, are you going to let the child throw the tantrum until they're done? Or what would you do, Mr. Norman?
Well, I would try to reason with the child to find out why they're throwing the tantrums. Maybe it's something, you know, like I said, I'm not, I know we're talking about children tonight, but a lot of things are mm-hmm. the elders that are not setting perfect good examples for their child. And so, you
not
know, maybe, because I got a relative right now that their child throw tantrums every time they go in the store when they can't have their way. So did you actually set
mm-hmm.
it up as a parent because you didn't set certain boundaries, certain principles for that child to follow? Did you open up that can of worms? You got to really ask yourself, were you the problem or were the
uh-huh.
child the problem? See? And but I never did have that problem with my children because I set standards and regulations that they needed to follow from day one. I didn't wait years and years and then try to impose that. I set that standard
mm-hmm.
right then and there. You know, if you want something, I mean, you know, you can ask, but that don't mean you're going to get. And you know, I
right.
didn't let them have everything they wanted. You know, I might get something
good.
Because I know their children, they need something, but everything they pointed to
uh-huh.
me to buy, I didn't buy that because I know that would be ruining that child if you didn't serve certain
right.
standards and things for that child to follow. And so, like I said, you know, when my children was raised, I took privileges away from them. I just didn't say go stand in the corner
right.
because what good is that going to do if you're going to let that child have, you don't take their privileges and make them not want to do what they did to get to that point in the beginning. So, real touchy subject for me. But those days don't exist no more. I know parents got to work really hard to raise children, but those days, the days that they're going
mm-hmm.
through and the days where I came up with is two different time periods. I mean, my
right.
mother and my father can give you a certain look, and you knew what you better not do. But today, it's a whole different ball game. Yeah. You didn't even talk wrong.
Because I was in the store and I looked at a
board. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You didn't even talk to other adults when you was coming up. You knew not to say nothing. And those are the kind.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guidelines that I came up as a child, but yet you got children breaking in conversation and all, and that's because you didn't do nothing about it the first time it happened. See, you have to let me know. You can't say do as I say and not as I do. I mean, if you do the same
uh-huh.
thing, how do you expect your children to follow those rules and regulations as well?
Because my grandson even told me, Nanny, you won't even let me speak. It's like, excuse me? What just came out of your mouth? I said for you to be quiet. You're not going to let me speak. No. But, you see, they need to express themselves because, you know, that's how they get out what's in them. And sometimes you just like, you know, you get tired of the why? Oh, that was a time in the child's life. But then as they got older and understood, you know, because my grandson is very intelligent. And as I told the story before, he was 4 years old. And he, boy, I think he'd been around. We all think he's been around. Because his dad and him was having a conversation. We was outside of Marshall's with TJ Maxx. I think it was Marshall. And he wanted a toy. And his dad they were talking, and his dad said, I have a proposition. I propose that if you clean up your room and do such and such and such and such, you know, you can have your toy. He looked at his dad, and you know what he said? I propose not. He was 4 years
wow.
old. 4 years old. And my daughter and I, all we could do was look at each other. It's like, he used the word properly. I can't even say the word at the age that I am. He's using it just all proper and everything. But he's very intelligent, very, very intelligent. So, but it's like, you know, you teach a child how you want them to come up. And if you don't start early, it's going to get out of hand and you're going to wonder, where did I go wrong? What happened? What happened? You know? And so you can't ignore attention-seeking behavior. So it seems like a minor disrespect is the same as allowing a child to get away with it, but selective ignoring can be one of the most effective negative consequences. Ignoring is about refusing to let your child's disrespect derail you from the task at hand. So clean their room, just like we were talking about, and they roll their eyes. Don't engage in a lengthy argument over the disrespectful behavior. Each minute you spend in the lower struggle is 60 seconds. They'll put off cleaning. Give a warning about what will happen if they don't get to work. So if the eye rolling is a common problem, address the issue at a later time when both of you are calm. Say something like, early today when I told you to clean your room, you rolled your eyes. Are you aware that you do that when you're mad? And they may, I know I was like, oh, you know, I do it as like, I may not be aware that I do it because some people say, you know, one friend of mine says, if you're going to roll them, you better control them.
Well, what about if I told you this? What about if I told you this? I dare not do that with my mother when I was coming up. I'd better not even think about rolling my eyes. Now, what do you say to that?
You won't have no eyes to roll. Heads is going to roll is what's going to happen. Because you don't disrespect.
Thank you.
Because you know you got to get the respect of your. You got to get that respect, and you know, not that it's earned, but some children, like I said earlier, you're gonna have to beat them into submission sometime. Because in some kids, they don't even care. Don't even phase. Spankers don't even phase them anymore. So it's like, why don't even? You know, you got to get them where it hurts. You've got to get them where it hurts. If they like something. And they like doing something. Oh, no, you wanted to go and do such and such. No, we're not doing this weekend because you acted disrespectful. When you learn respect, I'm going to learn how to treat you the way that you want to be treated. But until you treat me the way that needs to be treated, I need to be treated with respect, you're not going to get your way. And as I said earlier, give them what they need, not necessarily what they want. Okay. So, but yeah, if eyes roll and heads start rolling too. So, talk about the potential consequences of disrespect. Ask, do you think that when you roll your eyes, when your friend says something you don't like, engage in a discussion about how other people feel when they witness rude behavior. Explain the natural consequences for disrespectful behavior, such as disrespectful children often have trouble making friends. That's a good one because I know that's, you know, when someone sees you acting a fool, sometimes though you attract the wrong people, you know, when that happens. So next thing you know, you're in this gang of baddies, you know, mean girls or mean guys or, you know, gringo guys, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, sometimes baddies attract baddies. You know, oh, man, he just disrespected that teacher. I like him because he's not taking no guff. Well, that's not a good look. That's not a good mentor. Not a good mentor. Mm-mm. You got something to say, Norman?
I'm here. No, I'm just listening and enjoying what you're saying. But I can't help but think about I can't help but think about how I was raised in those times back there, in these times today, children are a different breed. And of course, the Bible said it would be. And so, you know, it's all about what a person want to be and not what, you know. It's hard. It's a lot harder. A lot of our children are faced with all kind of things that we never were faced with when I was coming up. I mean, the peer pressure is so bad because the kids are smoking and they don't want to be outcast, and so that kind of puts a lot of pressure on children. And then you got all the things that's going on with the social media and the television, and now everybody wants cell phones and. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of pressure that our young folks are on. We're looking for really for people who are looking for us. We want children that want to make adjustments. They know that they need help and they want to do something about it. But, I mean, some folks, according to the Bible, are too far gone. Ain't really nothing you can do for them. But we want to help them. We definitely want to help them, you know.
Right. We try to anyway. We really try to help them. So if you're out there listening, y'all can always join us at 845-241-9985, 845-241-9985, or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com /Let's Dirt Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com. /Let's Do It Radio. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. We're talking about babies, kids, disrespect, or should I say, respect and discipline. But this is part two. So we started with a biblical spanking, and now we're gotten past that into, you know, how do we get that, how do we handle disrespectful behavior? So Amy Morin, who's a licensed counselor, social worker, she came up with 10 ways to handle disrespectful kids, and that's what we're talking about now. Have we even gotten down? Okay. A significant amount of parent-teen conflict occurs due to a lack of meaningful connection. So you got to connect with your teen and decrease that conflict. I mean, I don't know how many times you try to reach out to a teen. It's like they go into the room and don't want to be bothered. They're just like, they do not want to be bothered. They set you out. Next thing you know, they've jumped out the window and gone to down the street to their friend's house, and you don't even know they're not there. So find the root cause. If ignoring behavior doesn't seem to work, or you feel like something else might be going on, try looking deeper. Behavior is communication, and disrespectful behavior might be your child's way of telling you something wrong. Maybe your kids want more of your time and attention. We often hear this framed in the negative. They just want your attention. Well, maybe that's true. You know, because a lot of times kids, when they're not nurtured, it's like they don't have the hands-on, touchy-feely thing. It's like you forget what it is to be hugged, loved, touched, you know, type of thing. You know, now I won't say pampered, but nurtured by your mom, by your dad, you know, just that human touch. It says a lot. You don't have to say anything just by touching someone's shoulder or giving them a hug or something like that. A lot of times that can save a child too. They just want your attention, but it can also be a very real need. That doesn't mean you can't have boundaries or that you need to drop everything for your child. But if a need for connection is behind bad behavior, you may want to be able to improve the things by finding a way to meet the need. For example, maybe spend 15 minutes connecting, you know, after, every day after school. If you're able to, you know, kids have a cell phone, call them. I had a girlfriend who, when her child got out, she was on the phone from childhood, the time her child got out of school, on the bus, and until she got in her house safe because she was a young lady. So, you know, you didn't want nothing to happen. She does every day, every single day. She made sure that her daughter was in the house safe and sound. Safe and sound on a regular and daily basis. Sometimes, you know that you're being loved because, like, wow, they're taking time to make sure I get home, I get this and do this and so on and so forth. So, you know, use the when and then statement. Okay. Instead of telling your children that they can't do, tell them how they can earn a privilege. When and then statements frame requests in a positive way. Use these statements to notify your child that will happen after they choose to change their behavior. Say, when you wait your turn a while, I'm on the phone, then I could take the time to answer you so I can focus on you and what you're saying. Because you know how soon as you get on the phone, your little children, mama, 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 mama. Why couldn't you have done that when I wasn't on the phone? Because you wasn't on the phone. It's a whole different story. And you know that many of you have had that happen on a regular. As soon as you get on the phone or you get started doing something, mama, 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 mama. So I know I've been there, done that, been there and done that. So rather than saying, if you don't pick up right now, you won't be able to play outside, say, you can play outside as soon as you are finished picking up your toys. That sounds so much calmer and so much nicer. Look, pick up your toys, you're just not going outside. Now, you can play outside as soon as you're finished picking up your toys. That sounds so much gentler and nicer. Then walk away and leave it up to your child to respond. If they don't respond, they don't want to go outside. So you also might try saying things like, when you lower your voice and talk calmly, I'll answer you. Or I'll play with you when you stop being bossy. Come on, play now. I want to play now. You don't need to be on the phone. Look here. I'm taking care of business, so as soon as I'm off the phone, I will be more than happy to direct my attention towards you. So teach your child that polite and kind behavior yields positive results. That is a truism. You get more flies with sugar than you do with vinegar. That's what I was told. So this gives your child an opportunity to change their behavior. Just make sure you're fully prepared to follow through with a negative consequence. Avoid repeating your warnings over and over and over and over again. Otherwise, you'll be training your child not. You'll be training your child not. You will be training your child not to listen. Not to listen. And then remember, you know, now that we're done with those things, remember Grandma's rules of discipline? We're going to get to that later. But now, have your child try it again. The wrong voice should be followed by the right voice. If you want your child to learn to act respectfully, give them a chance to practice. Let's say your 10-year-old says, take me to my friend's house right now. Before you launch into a lecture about speaking respectfully, simply say, oh, can you try that again? This gives your child a chance to soften their tone, use their own thinking skills. Yes, use their own thinking skills. It's like, command me like I'm a soldier in the army and I'm driving this daisy. Nuh-uh. Bruh, girlfriend, that ain't going to happen. You better talk to me like I'm somebody that can bring the wrath of somebody on you. I didn't say that, but I would say that. So, for your younger kids, you can say something like, I can't hear you. I can only hear your kind voice. I like that. Or your inside voice. Why are you yelling at me like we're outside? We're inside. Use your inside voice. Thank you. Let's take it down a few notches. Yes, yes, yes. So that I can understand you and that I can hear everything that you're saying. That would be so much better instead of you yelling at me. It's like, I see your mouth moving, but I don't hear what you're saying. So take it down a notch or two. Pick your battles. If your child is struggling with a handful of behavior problems, it can sometimes feel like you are constantly reprimanding them or doling out consequences. This can be discouraging for you both. Consider focusing on the one or two most important behaviors while letting the others slide for a time. For example, adjust the biting and hitting that your toddler has started doing. While you're not worrying too much if they don't say hello to adults who greet them, you can work on basic manners after you have taught them not to physically. That'd be nice. That'd be really nice. Okay? Anybody have anything to say out there? One, two, three. Okay. Provide an immediate consequence. Most disrespectful behaviors should result in an immediate consequence. So take your child's age and seriousness of the offense into consideration when determining the consequence. A calm down corner can be as effective consequence for a young child. If a 6-year-old screams in your face when they are angry, immediately explain to them why this behavior is inappropriate and provide them with an opportunity to correct it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you up here screaming. You want to lose your voice first or your face first? Which one you want to lose first? It's like, huh? What? What you just say? What? Lose my voice or my face? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just get them to stop and think about things. If your teen walks out the door after you've told them they can't leave, or if your child calls you a name, set the boundary. I will not let you disrespect me, or I will not allow the hurtful language in this home, or I trust you will find a different way to deal with your frustration. That's easy enough. But I like the other ones. I don't allow hurtful language in this home. I don't allow it on my talk show. So I know I'm not going to allow it on my home. So there. Now you have it. Let's see. If your teen walks out the door after you told them they can't leave, or a child calls your name, we just talked about that. Trust you will find a different way to deal with the frustration. Yes. Yes, I said that twice because a lot of times it needs to be heard twice. Many actions are labeled misbehaviors. They can often be corrected. Let's see, when a child is given the skills and attention, they need to make those changes. The aim is not to dish out more punishment. The goal is to remain connected, teach them valuable skills, and maintain a healthy parent-child relationship. Yes, nice, healthy one. You know, so that your child can come to you and you can go to your child if necessary, if something's bothering you about what your child has done. Definitely you're going to want to have that connection with your child. Use restitution. But we need to put that to the Congress. Use restitution. If your child behaves in a disrespectful manner, Restitution may be necessary to discourage it from happening again. Restitution is about doing something kind for the victim or something to make reparations for the damage that has been done. We'll never see restitution. So if your child hits their sibling, have them do their sibling's chores. Oops. Where are we here? I have to get lost. For the whole day. Or if your teen breaks something out of anger, they can fix it or pay to get it fixed. That's right. If you're going to break something of mine, you're either going to fix it yourself or pay to get that joker fixed, because you didn't have to go off on a tantrum like that. Why you have to break my stuff? You so mad that you just have to break all my stuff up? That's not a good look for you, dude. Mm-mm. No, it's not. Teach your child that saying I'm sorry doesn't always fix things. Restitution helps them take responsibility for disrespectful behavior while also working to repair the relationship. And I think I just saw somebody in the store the other day who was who had to have restitution. It's like, okay, I see what that's about. You're going to act up, A-C-K. You're going to act up. I'm going to act up with you. Okay? All right? We fill someone else's tank. Refill someone else's tank. When your kids are disrespectful, it can take a toll on your mood and energy. Sometimes, the best comes to finding a way for them to replace the energy that you lost. This doesn't have to be directly related to the behavior. The idea is that they dampen your mood or energy, so now they have to do something to brighten it back up again. For instance, they might do something of your chores while you relax, or they may prepare one of your favorite foods. What like that, mate? I'd like for them to prepare me some food. I love food. Some good old tasty food. All right. You know what else is good? Use reminders. Kids are still learning, and we can also use some reminders of same time or at the same time. Sometimes the best way to respond is disrespect. Wait a minute. Sometimes the best way to respond to disrespect is with a calm yet firm reminder that you expect your child to speak and act kindly. So a lot of times you think that once you put them in the corner or something happens like that, or they were off taking some time to get in touch with themselves, nature, and everything else around because something bigger is coming. What do you do? You got to set them down and just make sure that they respect you. Reminders work ahead of time. However, for example, if you are about to board a plane with the kids, go over what respectful behavior looks like. Inside voices, no co-chair in front of you, no screaming. You know, got to go to sleep sometime. Give them a hug. Sometimes they may look at you all crazy, but what am I getting a hug for? Because sometimes, like I said, that sign of love and holding, it may be the only nurturing element that they may come across. So give hugs. I always give great hugs at church. I'm coming to you for my hug. It felt so good. Ooh, it felt so good. We all have our bad moments, okay? Harsh consequences for disrespectful behavior can sometimes just fuel the fire, remembering that discipline means to teach, show your child what loving, kind behavior looks like by responding with a hug or another way of showing affection. Here you go, kiss on the cheek. Oh, children hate that. Don't know why, but we just hate that. So, this doesn't mean that you can't set boundaries or that you are just letting the behavior slide. You can follow up with a conversation on why it's important to be respectful. Many kids will be more open to listening after they feel the confidence that you'll give them unconditional love. Yes, I think that's a great thing to do. Setting boundaries. Setting boundaries. So, I'll talk about that later. That's another thing to say. I worry from Very Well. Very Well is the site that I'm got this information on about the 10 ways of being respectful from Amy Lortimer. So a word from Very Well. When you're addressing disrespectful behavior, it's normal for your child to take 2 steps forward and then 1 step back. So while they may be polite and kind one day, they may struggle the next. Consistent discipline is the key to helping them make progress over the long term. Point out good behavior when you see it. And on bad days, consider disrespect a sign that they need more practice. Yes, for a lot of things. So, most importantly, be a good role model. Whether you're frustrated with the service you receive at a restaurant or you're angry at the telemarketer who interrupted your dinner, oh goodness, treat others with respect and your child will follow suit. I know that's key and that's the truth. Because if you're going to be ugly on the outside, you're going to be ugly on the inside. So I'm just saying. In this article, they have a section called How to Use Grandma's Rules. And that, again, is from AveryWellFamily.com, Grandma's Rules for Discipline. And it's got some numbers behind it. I think she's the only one because I think I typed it up in there. But anyway, you remember the song Grandma's Hands by Bill Withers? Yes. That was a good song. He passed away. And I believe that they put that, you know, at my mama's funeral for the grandchildren, so on and so forth. So grandmas sometimes really do know best. Grandma's Rule of Discipline is a great way to teach kids that they have an option to earn their privileges. It gives them an opportunity to recognize that they have some control over what privileges they earn and when they earn them. How grandma's rule of discipline works. Okay. Excuse me. I'm going to have to get me some warm water in a minute. Grandma's rules of discipline involves framing things as an incentive rather than pointing out the negative consequence. So give them something positive to think about. Excuse me. And that will help, you know, framing things as an incentive rather than a negative consequence. Instead of saying, you can't have dessert unless you eat everything else on your plate, grandma's rules say, when you finish your dinner, you can have dessert. I feel like that little lady on Up. who passed away prior to her husband, who was a grandfather. Anyway, that's just how I feel with the grandmas. So when you finish your dinner, you can have dessert. It sounds nicer and gives kids extra motivation and reduces arguing. Instead of using a formal reward system, excuse me, grandma's rules can be a spontaneous reminder of how privileges are linked to behavior. It gives kids a reminder, what's in it for me? Why should I do what you ask? Oh, no, you didn't just ask that question. Are you still living to tell about this story? plus I had it out for you. You don't have to offer large, extravagant rewards as an incentive. Instead, remind your child he or she can have his privileges when he's met your expectations. If it if he or she chooses not to do what you said, he doesn't earn this privilege. So it would be a great way to avoid power struggles, as grandma's rules make it clear that kids have a choice in the matter. The results they receive depend on their behavior. Grandma's rules of discipline teaches children self-discipline. Yes, it does. Grandma's rules of discipline teaches children self-discipline. They learn to link their actions to their outcomes, and it can help them make better decisions in the future. Examples of grandma's rules. Grandma's rule can basically work by tying a task to a specific privilege. Here's some examples. When you're done with your homework, you can watch TV. Yes, that sounds so pleasant, so nice. After you finish your cleaning, your room, you can play outside. Yes, I get to go outside. I get to play. Anyway, when you complete your chores, you can earn your allowance. Oh, man, we were always looking for the allowances that we got. It wasn't much, but it was something. I saved mine. I put it in the bank and everything. I sure did. I had was an old National Bank, and then they took a U.S. Bank did. So it's like I had some great time. So when you put your dishes in the sink, you can go play 30 minutes of video games. See there? See how nice that is? Grandma's going to have the nice way of saying things. When you have your sneakers and jackets on, we can go to the playground. Yes. So when grandma's rule is most effective, when you have time to wait for the child to complete the task. For example, if you say, as soon as you get ready for bed, well, you read a book, your child may dawdle, and you might end up reading a book an hour later. So if you're pressed for time, you might say, if you are ready for bed within the next 10 minutes, you'll have time to read a book. I like that. I like that a lot. Yep. I used to read my grandson all the time. He loved me reading. Read the same old book over and over. But hey, he learned those books, and now look at him. He just be reading. He doesn't get tired. If he does get tired, can't tell because he does such an excellent job at reading. So it is more effective to say, when you put your shoes on, we'll play outside, than to argue, nag, and beg him or to get ready. So when it doesn't work, when grandma's rules don't work, grandma's rules won't be effective if you give in to your child. You say, you can have the dessert as soon as you finish eating. No. But then you end up allowing your child to eat dessert even though he didn't finish his hour. You'll teach him you don't mean what you say. I know that's right, because they have. Yeah, anyway. Make sure you are prepared to follow through with what you said. Grandma's rules also won't work if you're starting offering large. Okay. Extravagant rewards. Where's my game guy? Come in. Hey, and this is a game for you. If you use too many big words, rewards, your child will become to expect them instead of using privileges your child already has. Use free and low-cost rewards. That's in the book, so if you ever want them, let me know. Or you can always go to www.grandmasrewards. Hey, man, find something you want, but you don't want. Anyway, okay. So, so I take a walk with first, I said that. First, I started to gallop a little bit more and a little bit more. I mean, we were in a fast run. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Go back down. Won't work. Okay. We got a lot more. We got a lot more, y'all. Once it can be more positive. Okay. So, I gotta find a place because when you scroll, when you're doing this and I'm scrolling up and down, I lose. Oh, no. Okay, cool. So, because I work from very well. Pull up that much. Sorry. We're getting back to the rules at hand. Okay. Okay, so it says to make sure you are prepared to follow through with what you said when they ask for certain things. So grandma's rules won't be effective if you give in to your child. If you say you can have dessert as soon as you're finished eating, but you end up allowing your child to eat dessert even though they didn't finish within the hour, you'll teach them you don't mean what you say. That's when I looked at you and said, ha ha ha, you do. Make sure you are prepared to follow through what you said. Grandma's rules don't always work. If you start offering large, extravagant rewards, and if you use too many big rewards, the child will expect them. Instead, use privileges the child already has. So use your forces against evil, I guess, against the child. Mm-hmm. For low-cost rewards, that's what we were. Okay? The kids who ignore consequences. We'll see. I want to play this song first called Grandma's Hands because I think it's appropriate for this part. Let's see, here we go. By Bill Withers, Grandma's Hands. Love this song.
Always giving us a warning, you know.
Might be snakes there in that grass.
She was looking out.
Grandma's
I remember them well.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She said, Gladys, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands.
Look at him.
Grandma's hands through the low. Mother, Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swear. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, Grandma understands, got to really love that man. there in that grandma. Family is a gift from God. And with this song, I'd like to pay homage to one of its members. Over the years, her importance has been diminished, her image tarnished, but to me, she'll always be a rare jewel. I've heard her called by many loving nicknames. Nana, Mimi, Mamaw, Big Mama, Poppy. But I, like millions of others, simply call her Grandma.
Ain't nothing like Grandma.
Let me tell you this. Grandma's hand used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in handy. She said, baby, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no alcohol. I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'm a fool. Grandma, hey.
That was by Bill Withers, but that one this time was by Gladys Knight. Grandma's hand used to hurt and swell. Yes, they did. My mama's hands used to swell up sometimes, and they would get stuck in a certain position. My hands do that, so I was like, okay, now I know how my mama felt when her hands would get sore and swell and get stuck. It's like, some of that, I can't move my fingers, they're stuck in a certain position. So, and arthritis will come in, and Arthur will help you your hands to get stuck in a heartbeat. But you know what, I'm going to stop there for this evening on Grandma's, things that Grandma's used to say, and then pick up on Thursday night, Kids Who Ignore Consequences, 10 Ways to Make Them Stick. We're going to stop there and then pick up on Thursday evening. This will be part three, because I'm sure I'll have some other things that will be coming through. So the announcements for this week are Grandma's hands. just joking. The announcements for this week, happy birthday to my friend Lee in Tampa, and I had a girlfriend whose birthday was on the 9th, Linda, in the VA. No, she's in Rhode Island, and I had my girlfriend, I call her Farah, but her name is actually Candace, in Liberty Lake, Washington. So I wanted to shout out those birthdays. My youngest brother, his was on the 23rd of February. That was back then. I think I wished him a happy birthday. And my brother above me, his birthday's coming up on the 18th, so we'll get to wish him a happy birthday as well. So, it's happy anniversary, congratulations, and promotions to anybody. So, You had promotions. Congratulations on your promotions. Having babies, having anniversaries, birthdays, anything. So if you have somebody out there whose birthday may have happened, shout it out to me and I'll say, hey, so-and-so's birthday was this day. Happy birthday to them. So on Thursday, we're going to pick up again with Bebe's kids. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Let's talk about it. And then on the third Sunday, we have Reverend Carolyn Williamson speaking out at the Yakima, and that is on March 17th. And if that's the third weekend, then the Harvest World Ministry International, Pastor Betty Bennett and Apostle Chris, they usually have they usually feed the homeless. Let me get my life straight. Hold on. One moment, please. Bear with me. So they usually feed the homeless, and you can always send your donations to them if you want to. That'd be nice. Because, you know, it's always nice to have donations and have help feeding the homeless. And you can cash app her to Bennett. I think that's right. $Bennett, BR. You know, you can't ever find them when you look for it. Okay, here we go. I found it. $Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, B-R-59. If you want to send a donation, that's Bennett, B-R-59. They need a place to put all this food that they're getting from this is called the Joy, what you say it was? Don't ask me, I can't remember. But they'll be feeding at the Compassion Center in Little Rock, Arkansas. And that's usually every third Saturday, starting at 2:30 until the food is gone. And again, that's Harvest World Ministry International, Pastor Betty Bennett and Apostle Chris Bennett. And they serve it down at the Compassion Center. But they just got a convoy, a big old truck of food and items and things for the homeless. So they are so excited about that. So help them in their ministry and donate $Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, B-R-59. That's on the third weekend of each month. And then starting next week, Tuesday the 19th, let's talk about it as you hear the song. Can we talk? Let's talk about it. And then on Bible Study Wednesday, March 20th, Reverend Ronnie Marshall will be giving us the word. He's with the True Worshippers Ministry out of Little Rock, Arkansas. I don't know what he's going to be speaking on, but he's had some dynamic Bible studies last couple of times. So come and join us, and he will be directing Bible study. Then, of course, you got the rest of the month. That Thursday the 21st, let's talk about it with me, Miss Inez says, and then we have Reverend Ronnie the fourth Sunday, of course, speaking. Don't know what he's going to be speaking about, but hey, that's okay. He'll let us know. He'll let me know early enough. And then June 21st to the 24th is World Vitiligo Day, WVD. It's a conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so mark your calendars because you can get your tickets, your airline tickets, and your hotels early. So, you know, let them know that you're coming. So you want to start saving for that, for your trip to Indianapolis. And you may even meet me. I may be there. No, I'm going to be there. So that'll be great. And support Reverend Ronnie Marshall because he's always supporting Let's Do It Radio. You can purchase his music or listen to it through all music media. And this documentary, The Barber of Little Rock, was up for an Oscar. They did not win the Oscar, but hey, they were nominated. So that's close enough to being a winner. Shoot, when you're nominated, that's like winning because, hey, at least they're being acknowledged. So they did not win, but they still had that mention, the Barbara of Little Rock. So they're still winners in my book. And I am a number one international best-selling author in the U.S. and in the U.K. Hey! For She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically, an anthology of 31 women. And I guess you could say copies are available for $31, and that includes shipping and handling. And if you want a signed copy, you can send an email to letsdoitradio@gmail.com or text me or direct message me on Facebook or Instagram. An Eagle Saints Outreach Ministry International in the morning. They have a Bible study at 3 a.m. Pacific, 6 a.m. Eastern. They are studying the Bible throughout the year, so if you want to join them, get your pen and pencils out, and I'll give you their conference line. I'll wait a couple of seconds, or you can always go back and listen to the episode and get the number. The conference line number is 605-472-5587, and the PIN is 931-403-POUND. Again, that number is 605-472-5587, and the PIN is 931-403-POUND. And to keep me on the air so you hear all these crazy things that we be doing and talking about, you can donate to my Cash App, $ANAISEVALCOUR, or to Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or to Zelle, if you know myself, Martell. Hey, you know that. And I want to give a big thank you from Let's Do It Radio to my listening audience, my worldwide listening audience. Who's out there? Hey, audience, thank you for joining in and listening. And for those of you who join in on the air with me, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's always a pleasure. We had Mr. Norman Hargrove with us, as well as my in the back room listeners. So thank you for joining us. And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, holla at a sister at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. You can send me an email. And once we decide what we're going to talk about, but don't forget to share it on social media platforms. Yes, man. Yes, sir. And you can also listen to any previous episodes that have aired, and you can do that on demand by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. And follow me. Come on, follow me at Blog Talk Radio under blog. I'll get my lips straight. Don't laugh at me. I'm getting old. Follow us at blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio as well. And if you have something on your chest and you need to just get it off, just release that pressure, join us. You can join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can talk about it with Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. Yes, you can talk about it. Can we talk for a minute? We could talk for a couple of hours. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we could be discussing your topic. So, you know, hey, holla. You know who I am. I've been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Cool Designs of Let's Do It Radio. And I'm so glad you joined us this evening. As always, it's always great to have you join us. Wherever you are, wherever you may be. Oh, somebody just joined us. Somebody else just joined us. Let's see who that is. Hello, hello, hello. 2968.
Hey, hey. This is who it is, 2968. This is who you appreciate.
I appreciate myself. Who this is?
Well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. You know, we're looking at the signs, and we can read the signs, and we know which way to go because love, love, love never, ever taught us a conflicting lesson. So we can be assured that where we're going is the safe place. And God bless you. I hope you're having a wonderful evening.
I am. Who is this that I'm speaking with?
This is Mr. Wonderful, way busy.
You know what? I haven't talked to you in, what, a group of months of Sunday?
Man, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, we're always
has
out
been.
Here. We're always, hey, we're always out here making a difference where it counts, you know, and people all over the place got a lot to say, you know, and I listen to what people say all the time. And they be puking all this stuff on me, you know, and I just keep my mouth shut because I don't want to disturb the peace.
Goodness.
You know what I mean? I want them to get it off their
goodness.
Chest. Yeah,
yes,
so when they let it all
out,
you
chest.
Know, I say, are you done? Are you done yet? And they go, they keep going. I go, okay, get it all out because I got something to say, and I want you to be paying attention
yes.
today because today's your lucky day, baby. You came in to the right place at the right time, and here we are giving it away for free. All day, and here you are, baby. Let's do this. What's on your mind?
My mind, can we talk? Well, we were talking about Bebe's kids and how kids are disrespectful. So we were just closing out the show because that's what we talked about. Why, you have something you'd like to say, Mr. Wade?
Oh, yeah.
Disrespectful kids?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you something. Let's just back it up a little bit. Let's go back a little bit. To when you was making love, and when you was making love, you was making a baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about baby. I'm talking about a baby. And when that baby came in this world, you and the other person get to put what you want this baby to know into this baby. And if you don't do it, you're going to make a mistake. And I guarantee you, a lot of people making some mistakes these days because they are distracted by the things that go on in the adult world, but there's also a baby on board. So you got to forfeit your freedom because it's not just you, it's the baby now. So that's what I was talking about, putting that love in that baby, what you want that baby to know, because you know that baby is going to get a little mind of its own about 7, 8 years old. And when that baby gets a mind of its own, you got to teach that baby the difference between right and wrong. If you don't teach that you don't teach the baby the difference between right and wrong, then you taught your baby a conflicting lesson. And when your baby becomes responsible for its own actions, it has nothing to stand on because you didn't teach it the truth and love. I got to bring this to your attention because you got to be paying attention right now. I'm talking to you.
Okay. You talking to me?
And I want you to know.
You talking to me? Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you know what I'm saying? But this is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're going to take responsibility, you have to go back and say, you know what? I made a lot of mistakes. I just want you to know that. And everybody's going to go, we know this. But we were just waiting for you to say it. And when you say it, it has some meaning to it because now you're going to do something different than you were doing before because you have options to how you feel about what you did in the past. And now you could do something much better than you ever done before.
Okay, and you take responsibility for your for what you didn't do, for your actions you didn't,
For
what you didn't teach the child.
Well, that kid is going to grow up and it's going to want you. It's going to look at you like you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you know, and it's going to blame you for all the things that you didn't do, and you can't. You can't go anywhere when you're in this position. You have to admit that, you know, to your child, you have to admit that, you know what, you made some mistakes because you got a broken heart. You're turning away from that stuff, and you're facing it now. And so you got this opportunity to do the right thing. I just want to encourage people to do the right thing, for crying out loud. Please, please. Invest in your future. The children are the future. I guarantee. If you's a man, you know what I'm talking about. You got to be that person.
For sure. You got to be that person for sure. Got to
be. You know? And when your baby growing up, your baby's gonna look at mama and gonna see how you love on her. And nothing gets between that because the baby's going to learn what love's all about. But you don't be doing like this. You be, oh, my God, I don't want to go here, man. I'm just saying, please help me, Jesus. God, help me.
That's the truth. Need to help
just
try
to get the message out without any interference, you know, because when something comes against the thing that is in my heart, which is love, I can't believe it. But God shows me when every time there's an assault placed upon that love in my heart, it puts a smile on my face because it's genuine, true love. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
As long as you take, you're taking the child with you and teaching the child right and making sure you're a good old role model for that child.
Hey, when that baby grows up and looks at you, that baby's going to say, remember that song? Remember that song?
Which one?
Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. Remember that song? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he wrote that song. He wrote that song because his mother, her name was Mary. So a lot of people think it's talking about Jesus' mom or something like that, but it ain't like that. It's his mom. And his mom was speaking words of wisdom because when she grew up, all the mistakes that she made when she was younger turned into wisdom for her age. So she gave that to her baby, and her baby was saying when she was dying, Mother Mary comes to me, brings your mom, brings these things to your mind, and she's speaking words of wisdom. And he was just saying, let it be, let it be. You know what I'm saying? He's singing a song, man. Just how to touch your heart. Come on, man. Wake up, America.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it
oh,
be.
Oh, man. Women,
let it be.
All you ladies out there.
Let it be, let it be. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
That's right. And she said, there will be an answer. There will be an answer. Let it be. And look at, you're going to grow up. You're going to grow up into what your parents were given to you, you know. And with, and if you give them the right things, they're going to be successful in their life because they had something that other people didn't have. They were bankrupt of it. It's love. Some kids got bankrupt of love from one parent, some in some cases both parents, and this is not a good thing, y'all. This is not a good thing. If you can meet the needs of these children by doing some little thing, why wouldn't you do that, man? What would stop your bowels of compassion from doing something like this?
Well, first off, we have children raising children raising children. So we have to reach back down to the bowels of the earth and of our bowels, and hopefully that they will be instilled in those children who's having children who's having children. Otherwise, those last set of children are going to be lost, and we won't have a future because everything's going to be in such an uproar and a turmoil.
That's what I'm saying. Look, at you were talking, or somebody was talking earlier, and they were talking. They were hard. They were hard. But I said, look, it, you're looking at what these people ain't giving to you. And that's because they ain't reflecting what you be projecting. That lets you know these people don't feel you. So the people that don't feel you are the hungriest of the hungriest people. So you have to look past what they be thinking, past what they be saying, and past what they be doing because you got supernatural abilities that give you this opportunity to do the right thing. Come on. Give them some love, y'all. Come on.
That love is the answer, that's for sure. Love is the answer.
That's what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I go out there and these people out here, you know, I mean, they come across like they'd be reflecting what I'd be projecting. And sometimes I wonder how I keep from going under. And I tell these people on the other side, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. And I'm dropping broken glass everywhere. People eating out of garbage cans because they just don't care. I'm thinking, man, we've got to come up with a plan. You understand?
That's the truth. Got to come up with
for
something.
For real, man.
You're gonna die.
Look
at, die.
This is your opportunity. When you open the door to your heart, there's only one handle. It's on the inside. So when you open yourself up to people outside of yourself, it's only I would hope that it's only because you can trust them because they're being honest with you and they pay attention to your feelings. Otherwise, you are not having a relationship that I'm talking about. That's for real.
For real, huh?
Yeah, man, because we ain't got time to be messing around with this. You know what? Because we cut through, you know what, to get to what is real. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Amen. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man, we ain't messing around. Look, back in the day, I think it was like 1993, maybe 1994. I really can't remember too well. It's been a long time. I was walking on the yard, the prison yard. I ran into a fella who was walking on the yard, too. He started talking to me. I said, yeah, we talked for a minute. Well, this gentleman told me a story about his life. And he took me on a journey. We're grown-ass men right here in prison, you understand? And he took me on a journey back to when he was just a little boy. And I swear I looked up at this kid and I was saying, and he was pointing at what he was pointing at, and he was pointing at his dad, his daddy, and he goes, and the grown man told me, he goes, this is what's most important to a little boy. Now, he's a black man, and I know what he was talking about. I know what he was talking about. And I'll never forget this man because he's a beacon of light. As I look back, and his name is Geronimo Pratt. He was a Black Panther back in the 60s. And he was in prison for 21 years when I met him. And he told me, you know what? He goes, Johnny Crockman's going to have an interview with me next week. I'll be coming out those doors right there. And you guys have your little spot over here. You know, if you just be hanging out, you'll be on 60 Minutes. I said, really? I think I'll be out there. Anyway, what a sweet man. I mean, you talk about somebody that's humble and gentle and kind and all the things that you would, I just can't believe this man. So he had an impact on me. Yeah, that's why I feel that a lot of the reason why I can speak the way I do today is because of that conversation that I can't recite word for word, but something got inside of me from him and has really changed my life. So I really have a lot of respect for him.
That's great.
Because
lots of times we have to have those mentors to help us down our dark road. So, you know, show us the light.
Yeah, man. What a beautiful man. I'm sorry, we lost him. You know, God took him. But when God takes somebody, it just means that while they were here and they were acknowledging him in all their ways concerning the life they're living that God gave them, it's always a blessing to run into people like this. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm glad you joined us this evening, Wade.
Yeah.
Out of California.
For sure. Yeah, you know me. I'm always dropping in when I can.
In the background, you know? Listening. Just
up on the TV right now. It's the Boy George guy.
Say that again.
It's Boy George playing in the background. He's a silly looking man, but whatever. I wasn't. It's just kept going on and on. But anyway. You know, I like a lot of different things. You know, I really do. I really enjoy a lot of different things. And people bring things to the table. And I'm talking about the table where people go and they get something that benefits them, you know. So if you're bringing something to the table today that's benefiting the people as a body, you know, I just want to say thank you for being a giver, you know. We need more people like you on this program.
Thank you,
fine,
sir.
Yeah,
I've been trying to get some information.
Yeah. Sure.
I do. I try. I try to come up with some exciting topics, you know, to make people think, you know, to make them think about things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you can always go back and listen to some of those topics, too. Say it again, please.
Sure. Yeah. Because inside of yourself, you know, a lot of people are suffering
mm-hmm.
inside for various reasons. And they think that
right.
there's no hope for them. You know, they really feel... They feel like there's nothing going on, like they're the only one inside of themselves, but that's not true. That's not true.
Right.
God's inside of people. If I roll up on somebody,
mm-hmm.
I don't care where I go. If I roll up on somebody, the spirit that's inside of me is going to be inside of them. Because when I'm talking to them
mm-hmm.
about spiritual things, the spirit is
mm-hmm.
in that person, relaying to that person's mind that what I'm saying is for them so they can receive it. Look,
mm-hmm.
I don't play games. We've got time for the game playing. Come on, y'all. This has got to be real, man. We can't be doing this unless it's real. And I'm telling you, God is
mm-hmm.
on the move right now. Right now as I'm speaking.
Definitely is.
Yeah.
He definitely
yeah.
is. Mm-hmm.
And you are blessed, lady. And I don't want you to go to bed tonight
well,
thinking
you.
Anything less than that, because anything less than that would be a distraction from what I'm talking about to you.
Well, appreciate it, because I know I'm blessed. I know I
that's
am.
That's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
There it is there, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know I am. Every day I wake up and open my eyes and breathe that
ooh.
Breath of air. I know, I'm blessed, as they say. I'm blessed.
Yeah, you want to move.
Truly
you know what
blessed.
I mean? You,
mm-hmm.
inside and then outside of yourself, you're going to perform at a
mm-hmm.
level that's so high that most people are going to wonder why. And they're not going to know, but you came all the way down with your credentials to where they are, and they're going to be talking
mm-hmm.
like they're up there where you came from, but you're going to understand
mm-hmm.
that God put you down here so that when you speak
mm-hmm.
the truth in love, he'll put you where they think they are. And when he talks to them, he does. They're going down because every knee has to bow. Pride has to
mm-hmm.
bow down to humiliation. I'm telling you, when you're poor in spirit, that's because you're down here working. And when you're working down here, you get to see what God's up to. Come on, people. Let's do this.
Hmm. Mm, mm, mm. Come on, wait. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me started.
Well, okay, you need to join
come
us
on,
earlier.
Man. I got to go to bed,
so,
too.
Mm-hmm. I know. And we were getting ready to close the show out, and then you were kind enough to join us. So, hey, you know.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
I was about
you
ready
gotta,
to...
Hey. Look, God tells me where to go, and I saw you guys on... And I said, this has got to be it. Because I was in another, and I went
mm-hmm.
to another place, and they were just like,
mm-hmm.
they're all full of themselves, you know what I mean? So there was nothing that I could give to them because they couldn't open themselves up
mm-hmm.
to me to offer something, and I couldn't give them
mm-hmm.
anything. And sometimes I get
mm-hmm.
frustrated, but I saw your room open. I said, oh, Lord, let me go in here.
Let
you
me go up and hit in her. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's going to be sweet when I go up in it because it's always that way. You know what I mean? I'm not here to hurt nobody. I'm just here to give it away, give it away. And you know what, baby?
Amen.
You're the one. You're the one who gets it. So you know what? God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Wade. That's sweet. And as you say, you know, I wish I had Let It Be. I would play that Let It Be. But I want to play I Wish by Stevie Wonder. But the thought of the week this week is, without change, there are no butterflies, only caterpillars. Let me say that one more again. Without change, there are no butterflies, only caterpillars. So let's make that change so you can become a beautiful caterpillar. Have a good evening.
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You.
I just put butterflies.
Look at-
you left. Again, thank you to every one of you for joining Let's Do It Radio this evening, March the 12th, Tuesday. Join us on Thursday for part three of Bebe's Kids, Discipline and Respect. And love each other, love on each other, and keep your head on a swivel because you don't know when you're what might be coming at you. Have a good night. Until we meet again, peace be out. Love you.